This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show, brought to you by Odyssey. This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show. Just a heads up, episodes sometimes include content not suitable for work and definitely not safe for kids. Now available on the Odyssey app.
Got a little secret, I think you want to know. Dirty little secret about a secret little show.
Hello. Hello and welcome to The Secret Show. This is the fourth of The Secret Show 2.0. Sarah, Vinny, Bryn, Nicole, we're all here to entertain you and to say lots of swears and or not and to offer some bad advice. I want to start with the bases. This is not the first time that this has come up. On this show, The Secret Show, or anywhere else. But I do think that Vinny and I have a pretty solid idea of what the bases are. I guess maybe it's the generation that we grew up in. But I want to start with Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
At 27, I would like to know, what are the bases, in your opinion?
I thought, like, the first base was kissing, making out. And then second base was groping, like, underneath the bra, maybe. And then third base was, like, oral stuff, and then fourth base. There's no fourth base, and I played softball. Jesus Christ, was full on sex. So,
well, that's a lot closer than some stuff I've heard.
Okay,
but
I don't know if these rules change and who defines these rules. But
I think generations define them, and the reason why she's asking you is because the curiosity is, did it change since we rounded the bases back in the day?
And I
know for
me,
when I first started kissing girls, this is like the trip about changing generations, but also about just being a young person and not really understanding what you're doing. You sort of you're driven biologically to do things, but you're also being told by people around you, after you've kissed, you have to touch a boob.
Right.
That's what you do.
Yeah,
that's the next step.
That's
mm-hmm.
what you're supposed to do. You reach for the boob. And so, you know, dumb, pea-brained, you know, puberty bedraggled me is like, okay, I now must touch boob. But I didn't even know what do you do once you get there? I don't know. And, you know, I remember.
Then you proceed to the third base.
Rochelle was like, okay, I'm going to let you touch my boobs. This one summer, she finally said, all right, you can touch my boobs. And once I got there, I'm holding them and I'm excited, obviously, but then I just sat there like, I don't want to stop touching them.
I can imagine you're just like this, like with your hands up.
No,
like.
You know what she did? This was a whole day. Me and Dutch and Rochelle and Melody were in her house, Melody's house, in the summer. And they go, we're going to let you guys touch our boobs. And I don't remember
how. Oh, they had both made the decision
together. They both
together.
Had decided that
what
they were
going to
let us. So, yes, Sarah, your hand
and
is up.
Did they start with, because I remember the first time I let somebody touch my boobs, I was like, but over the top of my bra.
I did that too.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I can go flesh on flesh.
Yeah.
So it started there, and then it was, you can touch our boobs naked, but we're going to lay on our tummies. So our hands were pinned against the bed.
Pressed between the breast and the bed.
But between the naked boob and the bed. And then we just sat there and we're both looking at each other like, huh? Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. All four of you are in this. You did a lot of all together in one room
we're
kind
kids.
Of action.
It's summer. I want to say at this point I'm 11 or 12.
Oh, wow.
That's very young.
Yes.
To be making it to second base.
And that's what I'm saying. My dumb pea brain, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I mean, I was just, so we're just sitting there, pinned to the bed.
So they're laying down on the bed and you're laying on top of them with your hands jammed underneath their chest.
Yes.
With your boner weird, like a hot dog in the bun.
No, you know what?
Through the clothes.
I can't even say that I don't remember, but I can't even say I was smart enough to put that between the buns. I didn't even know.
Because you're just a little kid.
I'm a little boy, basically.
But you'd made out with Rochelle before.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Dutch had made out with Melody, and this was just all of us.
But just first base.
Well, this is second base.
Right, now, no, I'm saying, but to this point, you made out, you hit first base, you tried for second base, they'd shut you down, and now they're like, all right. You're going to get to do this, but on our terms.
Right. And so we're doing it on their terms, and we don't want to stop, but you can't go anywhere from there. Where do you go? Yes, Sarah, your hands up.
Okay, so they took their entire tops and bras off,
no.
correct?
Oh. No. Their shirts are on, their bras are off, and our hands are pinned between their boobs.
This just sounds like a lot of work just to have your hands
totally worth
squashed
it.
Between a boob and
yeah,
a bed.
Yeah, but I'm a little boy. It's what I'm willing to do to touch a boobie.
I guess you're right. I don't know what it meant. Boys are so fascinated by boobs, and I'm just like, they're just there. Whatever.
Okay, so hold on. You just said that you let someone touch your boob over the shirt, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I was like 14 or 15.
All right. So is this someone you're making out with?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're making out, and you decide, when he tries, I'm going to let it happen.
Yeah, but if it was going to go underneath, it was a swat.
Yeah.
So cup
from the outside of the cup, yeah. But not...
Is the person that touched your boob on the outside of your shirt the same person that touched your boob under the shirt for the first time?
Yeah. But that was like a year after that.
Well, because he could do outside the bra touching...
For a year?
A year.
But it was because, like, we lost touch. Like, we stopped.
Clearly.
I guess the term is talking. And then we rekindled, like, a year later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that your doing? Because you were like, whoa, I went too far?
No, that was his.
Oh, she didn't get
it. I think maybe because I wouldn't let him do that. So he tried to get with somebody else. And I was like, bye.
Well, you know, they're going to get boobs.
Yeah, whatever they can find them.
They have to. Okay, so back to this. So you're saying they have a shirt on, Vinny. These two girls in the same room. You guys are all four of you in the same room.
And this is over the course of a whole day. Like, her mom had gone to work that day.
The negotiation has been ongoing.
And we end up at their house at 10 or 11 in the morning. And then we're there till 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
And so now their bras are not on under their shirts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they're laid down on the bed, face down, with their boobs pressed against the bed. And now do your hands have to be... Are your hands under the shirt?
Yes.
So not on the outside of the shirt between the bed and the boobs.
No, we're touching bare skin, but our hands are pinned and they can't be moved.
You're in a position where you can't even make out. This is your...
Right.
It's just, here we are with boobs in our hands. Let's just stand here and hold boobs.
Yeah, just lay here. She's laying on them. My hands are pinned. And I'm telling you, you're sitting there going, I don't want to stop, but there's really no point either. I know I like it. I'm excited, but I don't know where to go from here. I can't move.
But you don't want to jinx it by saying now.
You don't want it to stop, but you can't really figure out where this is headed from here. What happens
after
next?
You and Dutch left? Were you guys just like, oh, we're men now? Like,
yes.
Absolutely.
And also, we're like, we are totally coming back here tomorrow and gonna see what happens next. Because we're dumb boys with no idea.
But you got to touch boobs at age 12.
Yes. And so this basis
check.
Thing, at back to the point, which is the basis thing, is really kind of lame, actually, as you're young and you're just driven to just do these things without
whatever
any idea
I can
why.
Get. Like, well, let young ladies, let this be a warning to you. Or not even a warning, just a lesson. Like... You want to kiss and it's going to be flowery and romantic, and boys just want to get anything that they can get. They're in a negotiation with you constantly. It's not like the movies.
Right.
You know, they're driven by their hormones, and all they want to do is see how far they can get. And if you give them that, now they've got that. Now they're always going to have that. You're never going to be able to say no to that, and they're going to want something else. And now we're reaching down to test how the water is. You know how the...
Right. Well, it's like jumping. It's like jumping. How do you even analogize this? It's like you're jumping stones to get to Sex Island. Like,
right.
I'm on the boob stone.
Right.
I can't go anywhere from here but forward.
It was hard to get to the boob stone,
yes.
But I am not going back.
Right.
And I'm going to keep on trying to get to the next stone.
Right.
Without losing any current ground.
Right.
So for us, it was first base is making out.
So same.
Kind of dry humping, you know.
Right.
You'd be, you know, laying down together and mm-hmm. all like, whoa, mm-hmm. I can feel what I think is maybe his wiener or possibly his hip bone. I'm not sure because I'm not positive about this. Grinding against me. That's amazing. I'm actually starting to hurt, actually. I'm going to wear looser pants next time. This is crazy. Second base was boob action. You could touch.
Right.
You were boobs. Touching boobs. Third base was hand
finger
down
banging.
The pants.
Yeah, finger banging.
And or... manipulation by the girl of yours, but really it seemed like it was more about the guy wanting to get his hand down your,
yeah,
down your pants.
Yeah, I would love to tell you that third base had something to do with, you know, getting a hand job, but
yeah,
no girl did that. There was nothing to do
well,
with.
Well, some girls I'm sure did, Vinny. You
well,
just didn't
none
run
of the
into
girls of that I was with. But then again, I was trying to get around the bases far younger than I should have been.
Right.
So that's, again, part of the issue, and maybe the running theme here is maybe you should be mature enough to understand why you're doing it.
You won't be, though.
I hope people have gotten smarter.
Well, kids know a lot more, that's for sure.
Yeah, they know a lot more.
They've got access to all kinds of info. And clearly, listen, I didn't even know about blowjobs until I was like maybe 14 or 15. Like,
yeah,
I never even heard of that.
I wasn't in pursuit of a blowjob.
I heard about that when I was 13.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
And how old were you when you finally did it?
19.
What?
I'm a slow mover. Because, like you just said, I'm not, like, you have to be mature enough or smarter, and I knew I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that.
No, it's a good, girls, I think girls really do need to know what they're ready for, because we're pleasers. We want,
yeah, we
know,
are.
Someone is asking and asking and swearing their love.
I just want him to like me.
Right, exactly. And I am enjoying making out. And for him to stay interested, I have to give him more. It's a total tear with young girls.
Right.
Because they, you know, they're hormonal too. It's not just guys that have the drive, but they're the ones that have to call a stop to stuff.
Yeah.
Dudes aren't going to do it.
Absolutely. And I would warn girls off of these situations where you've gone to the point where you've now said no. That's time to stop and go home.
If you're saying no, you need to call it.
Right. Boys don't know, and boys will keep trying. And it's, I mean, I can't speak for all boys, but I know I was too young and didn't know what. And look, I'll tell you the next thing. So the next base was, you know, petting or finger banging or whatever, but again,
just hand down the
and
pants.
I'm not trying to be crass. I'm telling you how it was in my head as a little boy. I'm supposed to do this, but I don't even know. So, are you supposed to love this?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Girls?
I mean, I'm doing. I don't
no,
know.
No, this is just another thing we've ceded to you. This is just more territory that you've gained. It's uncomfortable and weird, and you're like, oh my God, what's happening? And the dude doesn't know what he's doing. He's fumbling around down there like he's, you know, not sure what he's doing.
Right, the pants are still on, so he's probably pinching your skin, and
his nails are probably not good. Right.
It's a whole thing. But meanwhile, a little boy is going, huh? Huh? Yep. I mean,
right.
This is what you want, right?
Guys think, okay, she just said no to the boob, right? I'm going to kiss her even more. I'm going to keep warming her up. All I have to do is get her warmed up.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought there was a certain period
of time. She'll forget that she said no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. Meanwhile, go ahead.
Weirdly quiet during all of this is the young man who had a girl pregnant at 16. Bryn.
Yeah.
At what point did you touch a boob? How old were you?
I don't know.
I think
13, maybe.
I think he's really advanced.
I mean, no.
He got a lot of stuff before.
I definitely didn't dissect it like that.
What do you mean?
I mean,
he wasn't worried about running bases. He was.
No,
just,
you overthink it for sure as a teenager. But I don't know. I just I did what felt right.
Sarah has a question
Hands
for
up,
you.
Sarah. Sure.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
13.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I
someone actually, just
I
fell in your lap and just started. You were 22.
Yeah.
Oh, 22. Wow.
Boy, we've got the opposite end of the spectrum. That's good. She waited until she was ready.
Yeah. I was always a friend to buy condoms for my friends.
Was he a random or?
No.
A boyfriend.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't want to say.
Why? It's a secret show.
No, it's all
I lost my virginity to Mike Berlini the night before my 17th birthday.
You don't have to say, Nikki.
You do have to say.
No.
You don't have to say. All right, fine, okay. I guess. I don't know. Just
lie like you always do,
how about just
Nikki.
An initial, a first initial?
F.
F. Oh, Frank. Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll go with Frank.
We'll go Frank. So 13 years old, you've got such game that you've got girls.
A girl actually guided my hand down there. And
she asked you. She was like, here's where you go next, young man.
Right. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know about the clit, really. That was just
of course, that's my whole
really,
point.
Really, no
is,
shit.
There's me, little boy me doing this and going, am I doing this right, huh?
Yeah, like, right, exactly. That's what I thought I needed to do. But she was like totally teaching me how to do it. And I'm pretty sure she came because she came. And so I was like, I didn't even understand what the fuck was happening. I was like, what is going on right now? She was like, because she grabbed my hand, she's moving it around. And I'm like, all right, I'll just keep doing whatever she told me to do. And so
how
now
old was
back,
she?
She was more advanced than I was. She was like a
like
year
or 25?
No, she was 15.
Oh boy, so really a 15. Woman of the world. Wow. Got it.
Right.
Oh.
She had major experience. It's interesting looking back on all these experiences.
Hold on a minute.
Because you've learned
that's
so
not
much.
Your son's mom, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. Whew. I was gonna
Her
say maybe
Rebecca.
We need to put a warning on this.
Rebecca.
Derek never listened to this podcast.
Yeah. Maybe that should be the new intro for the show. Derek, do not listen.
Derek, Riley. Isla.
Yeah, no. I don't even talk about the secret show at my house.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Well, of course not.
No, I don't want them to know when there's any. Not that they don't care what I'm up to.
Have we had 15 minutes yet?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we should stop here and then switch to the next thing.
All right, we'll take a break and be right back. And we're back.
All right.
So just to wrap this up, as far as Vinny and I are concerned, first base kissing, second base boobs, third base down the pants, fourth base, you're actually doing it. Meanwhile, the kids these days, third base is like they're giving BJs and eating Australia. So it's definitely a different
Australia.
Like those things. Those to me are like that. Those are things for someone I'm with. You know, it doesn't seem like those should come first. But what do I know? Nothing. Jon Snow.
Right.
All right. So there's that. I'm going to start with...
Coco, 22. Really well done. Yeah, I mean, you're every parent's pride and joy. When you, I'm sure they're listening and hear that and go, if only my kid will wait that long.
I mean, I think my parents know. It was pretty obvious, but...
Why? You bloomed?
Well, it's like the first guy...
You did it in front of them?
No.
You started smoking right
pointers.
After it happened?
Right.
No.
Oh, I don't know why I took up smoking.
No, I moved to L.A. and... He kept visiting me from up here, and I think my parents were like, yeah.
Well, you're 22. Look, they raised a girl who knew when she was ready and
was
responsible with it.
I hit puberty at such an early age that I didn't even know my own body because I was just trying to like hide it. Like I had C cups by fifth grade, and everybody just looked at me funny. And so I was like, I'm not ready for that. But all my friends... who lost their virginity early just told me, just wait.
There's no rush.
There's no rush. And I never
Plus,
felt
once
pressured.
You start doing it with a boy, now you do it with them all the time. It's not like you arrive at this wonderful moment and you've made sweet, magical love.
Yeah.
And your whole life changes. No, he wants to do it again the next day and the day
well,
after
he'll
that.
He'll drive
and
any
the day
distance,
after that.
Won't he, Coco?
Right.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
To get that sweet poontang.
Yeah.
So I'm happy I waited.
Yeah, good on you. That's good. I definitely did. I was pressured into it, and the guy told me that he loved me, and I thought, well, I'm almost 17. I guess I should lose it, and I never heard from him again after that. And then I was like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I smell bad. I did it wrong. It's not. And I just, you
I
know,
think girls
took me a long time
it.
To get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And do it again for a wicked long time. All right, here's our first bad advice for today.
Okay.
Dear Secret Show crew, please keep my name off of here, if you would. I'm so glad you're back. I've always loved The Secret Show. I've been listening to your show since I was in high school. I have never submitted a bad advice, but I'm feeling the need for some unbiased advice. I'm currently on maternity leave with my third child. We have three kids under five. Oh boy. I am 9 weeks post-delivery, and my husband and I have yet to have sex. Not to get too graphic, but I had a prolapsed cervix during my delivery. Now I'm extremely insecure about what is going on down there. I'm worried my cervix might fall out, or it might just be a completely undesirable situation after birthing three kids. I'm also utterly exhausted and overtouched by my three little kids, but I know my husband is more than ready after waiting several months, and I don't want our relationship to suffer. For those with kids, how did you manage the post-baby sex and exhaustion and physical insecurities? Thank you so much. Unnamed.
I've never had a kid, so I can't really answer that question.
I'm waiting for Vinny to give her words of encouragement.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about it. I don't know that I could. Look, here's what I would say. First of all, I do think that they're probably within the listening audience. There's a percentage of marriages that crumble just because of this. That whole post-child, no sex, tired.
No sleep. Right.
There's no sleep. There's no sex. Everyone's tired. And in there somewhere is a horny guy going, I got to get laid. I don't know what's going on with my marriage now, but the girl in accounting seems to be willing. So I may. And it's terrible because you go, man, that small, what should be an easily traveled path, because it's not forever. It should be easy. It shouldn't, you know, you've married for life, right? So it should be this easy, like, okay. But there's a lack of communication happening. There's obviously someone, look, she's even saying, I know it's not normal to not be having sex during this time. I want to do it for his sake, right? I mean, is that what she's getting at?
Yes. She's worried. It sounds to me like not only is she exhausted, she's actually worried about what's, you know, the situation, as it were. Like, I don't know what a prolapsed cervix is. Did it hang all the way outside her vagina? Did the baby drag it with
him? I don't know.
Him?
I can't, like, speak to that.
I know. So, I mean, as long as the doctor is saying that she's okay to do it, I would say you hit it. Communication. You need to say, I am super freaking out about what's going on down here. And obviously with three kids, you are as overwhelmed as I. Can we talk about this? Because I love you and I treasure our relationship. And it was always going to be a hard time, even without a prolapsed cervix. Can I give you a handy real quick? How about a nice BJ?
That's the point that I'm getting to, is that, look, I can sit here. I sit here on this show and talk in front of the general public about every freaking thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And within even my own relationship, there's some icy times where you're not communicating. And those are the times that create this weird gap between you two that can end a marriage. We had to go to counseling and we had to work through a ton of stuff. And it still becomes difficult. Like, after the second kid, there was still this, like, okay, we're back at this now. And look, I don't want to give, she's private, but, and yet, sorry, she married a DJ, so she's going to have to deal, I guess, right? She got overly sensitive and was like, you can't do that. You can't do this. And so these are the things.
Like physically overly sensitive.
Physically overly sensitive down there after the kid. So these are things that if look, this is what I'd recommend to you. Sit him down and get it out of your head in blunt, plain English. Don't beat around the bush. Don't hope he's picking up.
Here are the things
down.
I'm worried about. Here's
you
what
just
I'm
gotta
hoping
say it.
For.
And
right.
Say what you're like. Look, even the part where you're like, look, and I'm so tired too. So, can we do a blowjob? What's going to work for you? What's going to work for me? It's got to be.
Can you go visit a hooker? Let's get a nice clean one. You take care of that. Or, you know, look, I mean, I think a simple expression of my iciness toward you is not a lack of love. What it is I'm having a hard time dealing with what's happening to my body and how tired I am. Forget even, maybe you don't even want to offer a blowjob. Just talk. talk about it. You are so right, Vinny. These lapses in communication where you're sort of, it's like toddlers parallel playing. There's no, you need to face each other and say what's on your mind, no matter how hard it is to get out. Here's what I'm going through. I get that this is probably a huge, now let me hear what you're going through. And then maybe you can, you know, keep it all together. What is her thing? Let's see. I know my husband is more than ready and I don't want our relationship to suffer. That's where communication is the number one thing.
Look, I can tell you that. Again, I feel like I'm easy to talk to, and I'll talk to anybody about basically anything. I talk on the radio about all the stuff, and yet here in my own relationship, I'm sitting there going, okay, well, she's not having sex with me, so she, you know, who's she with? Because she's not with me.
Mm.
And that's a weird thing to have happen when you find yourself going, now, look, not everybody's easy to talk to, and that's one of the issues with her. She's a stony person who doesn't have everything right at the tip of her tongue, and it's a thing for us. I have to force her to sort of talk to me, and you may have to. He may not be easy, or he may,
or you may not be easy. I mean, we don't know either of these people, but the bottom line is, if you want your relationship to last, you can't not express yourself.
Right.
And that's, I would say, all though, aspects, this and everything, talk through it.
Unless you have a particularly, I don't even know how to word it. Because I don't think I'm someone that's uncommitted or someone that's not interested in, you know, my partner's, you know, happiness or, but if you don't talk about it and at least let them know, this is something that's going on with me. I don't expect it to be long-term. And actually, it's not long term. You will come on the other side of this. The prolapse thing will fade into the back.
Yeah, hopefully here's what you do. You go, honey, listen, I'm having this problem. I'm going to get down here and go spread eagle. Can you take a look? Just let me know what's happening down here. Let's just give that a good sniff around. Yep. What do you think? And then all of a sudden he's eating your pussy and everything's back to normal. Don't worry about it. Guys want to do it. They don't care what it looks like. Throw it in.
Well,
I'll be so psyched. And so will you.
Right.
You know, that's the thing about sex, too. Sometimes you let you know, kids and stuff, you let a lot of time go by and you're almost like worried that you can't get back to it. And you can. It's all still works. It's all going to be fine. And if you have a problem, you know, that's what you go for your postnatal visits, or you say, hey, I'm having this problem. But you won't know until you try that equipment out. Let's get that stuff back into practice.
But I would say this. I'm not trying to tell you it's a woman's fault after a pregnancy. I'm not saying that, but I will say, if you go without talking and without doing it, and you let months and maybe even a year pass because you're struggling with this child and you've got these other issues and you don't say anything, and then you're surprised he's boned the neighbor, you shouldn't
even
be surprised.
If he hasn't, surprised that he's miserable. Like, it's, you know, it's... It all comes back to communication.
Yeah. Don't leave that stuff undiscussed and left to.
You are still partners, and he's
still be like, "Oh, this is marriage. I don't like it.
Yeah,
it doesn't work for me."
Boy, we were okay after two kids. This third kid, though, got a lot of resentment toward this one.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't want that. Well, how are we doing on time here?
We got a few minutes left.
All right, I'm gonna start another bad advice.
Yes.
This one is, please call me Sophia. Long-time listener here and looking forward to in-person Secret Show events. This is, I'm contacting you to ask for bad advice about my friend's relationship and whether or not I should say something about it, is what she has to say. Here's the situation. So she moves in to a spare room with an old college friend, and she's going through some stuff. So mid-pandemic, she decides, I got to get my life back together. And she actually said, a la Vinny. So she moves in with her friend, Sean. She says, we weren't particularly close before she moved in. I pay rent for my room. I plan to move out now that I'm back on my feet. So she's put it back together. Since moving in, it's clear that Sean's husband, who she's calling Alan here, treats him poorly, belittles, criticizes, withholds love, compares him to me, orders him around, yells at him, throws things at him. Sean responds by laughing it off, ignoring it, mentally checking out, and being passive aggressive. I stay in my room and avoid their fights. It's not an ideal situation.
That is crunchy.
I know. So this friend of hers that she moved in with, Sean, has never been in a loving romantic relationship before and has some self-confidence issues. I have no idea why he decided to marry Alan. It was a surprise to most people in our friend circle, and I'm suspicious. It's a 90-day fiancé situation going on. I don't know what a 90-day fiancé situation is.
So it basically means that he is obviously trying to get citizenship here in America. So you have to wait. There's this whole TV show about it, but they come over and you have to wait 90 days. I forget if it's to get married or to get the paperwork. Basically, the government has to approve within this 90 days. And then if 90 days doesn't work, like if they don't get approved or not, then they have to go back.
Oh,
I see.
Hey, I just out of curiosity, I realize we're at a time in the world when our male, female, all interchangeable, very acceptable, no worries. But my point in saying that was, are we talking about gay marriage here?
Yes, two men, Alan
two guys,
and Sean.
Okay.
Yes,
got it.
And this person is a girl.
A girl.
In fact, yes. So she says the friend is Sophia. This is the person who's writing to us, and she says, "Call me Sophia." So she moves in with her friend Sean, who's a man, and his husband Alan.
Got
who's a man.
It. Okay.
Okay. So they're saying this 90-day fiancé situation. She has no proof of that, but she's like, I think it might be that. Also, I think Sean got married because he, getting older, wants kids and a husband as a status symbol. Alan is much younger than both of them. They know each other from college, Sean and Sophia. Oh my God, that scared the shit out of me. Holy
That's
cow.
The alarm?
Okay, let me just finish this up and we'll do this quick.
Got it.
So he's a much younger guy, acts like a princess, is very messy. I'm a very tidy person. He barely works. He's immature, puts unreasonable limits on my friend Sean. For example, the other night, Alan started yelling at Sean for making a sandwich when he wasn't given permission.
Ew.
I know. So earlier this month, she went out with Sean and without Alan and said, look, are you happy? And he said he just went on and on how much he loves him, how happy he is. He also shared that there's little to no sex in the relationship.
What?
And she says, I have concerns he's not in touch with reality. So Alan jokes about divorce. It goes on. But basically she says, should I talk to him about my observations? She's about to move out and she's going to leave the two of them alone together. And she's concerned about Sean. So thoughts.
Yeah. Definitely say something.
Say something.
Tell you something.
Coco.
I'm torn, yeah. Coco.
Okay,
because
say it. Tell me what you're going to say
to him. I would just say, word it in a way of, it's like, hey, I just need to talk to you because I'm concerned about your safety.
Mm.
Because what he's eventually going to do is he's going to gaslight this person to make them think that they're the ones who are the issue and going crazy when you're not. It's this asshole that you married. So you have to word it in a certain way where it's like, I'm just concerned for your safety. Like, will you be okay now that I'm
Oh, that's a good way to approach it because, right, with me there, obviously, he's not going to murder you right in front
exactly,
of me.
Exactly, or hit you.
Right.
So
that's, you know, because my first thought was, just get the fuck out of there. Like, just move out and, you know, some people won't listen to reason and if he can't see it. But you're right, you could at least say, look, I'm here if you need someone to talk to.
Yeah, just word it in that way because in the end, this guy made the decision and he has to come to the realization that this relationship is abusive, but you can't really do anything. You just have to be like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm concerned.
I see it. And so when you finally see it or admit it to yourself.
Yeah.
Vinny, your thoughts.
Since you're friends with Sean and you're going to stay in touch, I don't do it on my way out the door. I don't think they've already gifted you. I mean, yes, you're paying rent, but they've allowed you to stay there and put your shit back together. Mm. Your sloppy ass is now, I mean, they've helped you save your own life in one way or another. I don't know what the exact problem was, but you've been able to put your crap back together and now you're going to move out. And in the process, you're going to throw a match behind you and light his whole shit up. I don't think that to me feels uncomfortable. At the very least.
So you
can
say,
stay in
talk
touch
about
with him.
It, but not as you're walking out.
I don't think it's the right thing to do on your way
out.
Right. And then he'll be like, what? So you, on your way out the door, you're going to tell me my marriage is fucked.
You left me in a fight with this guy. Bryn, you got anything? I noticed you keep giving us little time hints.
No, those are just emails. Sorry about that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would just keep it to myself, especially.
You just get the hell out of there. I might just get the hell out of there too. I don't know. We're not a lot of help for you, Sophia, but you know, maybe you.
Well, no, you can say this at a later date. Just don't do it on your way out the door.
Maybe like can let 3 days pass. Say, hey, let's grab lunch, and then. Oh. By the way, this is a review of what it was like living with you. Are you okay?
I was gonna post this on Yelp, but yeah. I was thinking I'd talk to you about it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I hope we helped some people. Another fabulous secret show. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll check you back here next time.
Thank you.